The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Football fans were briefly left in the dark at Talca Park after a floodlight failure during the League of Ireland Premier Division opener between Shelburne and Derry City. With the growing fear that the match could be abandoned, power thankfully was restored after 45 minutes, allowing play to continue. But floodlights have long held a curious and often controversial place in history, as off the ball's Cameron Hill can explain. Cameron, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm great. How long have we had floodlights, do you know?
So going back to 1878, this is actually astounding. So the first floodlit football match, I believe there's a plaque to that effect outside Bramall Lane in Sheffield, took place in 1878 in October of that year. So this predates Thomas Edison's patent for the light bulb. So they describe, one article describes what the floodlight entailed, which was a lamp and a reflector. So at each corner of the ground marked off for the players, a wooden stage was erected some 10 yards high, carrying that lamp and reflector combo. Behind each goal was placed a portable machine, each of which drove two Siemens dynamo machines for each light. The illuminating power equaled 8,000 candle power, and the cost per hour for each light was about 3.5 pence. So it wasn't cheap at the time.
And I wouldn't say it was particularly bright either, but anyway, they played in a somewhat relieved gloom.
Absolutely, and lots of people wanted to go see this marvel, this technological feat in football. Reports vary on the attendance of that game. Some sources suggested that around 12,000 spectators came to witness the new innovation, while one report estimates that as many as 20,000 piled into the ground. We don't really have figures because one source claims, I found this quite ironic, that because of the darkness outside the ground, there was no street lighting outside Bramall Lane, so many people snuck in under cover of darkness.
Now, you know, modern technology and football have had an uneasy relationship. We can only think of VAR, for example, as to the current crisis. But you'd imagine with floodlighting, they'd embrace it and it'd gallop ahead.
Yeah, not so. I think, thinking back a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the penalty, we know that the English game wasn't exactly open to innovation and they disapproved of these newfangled floodlights. One theory was that it would allow workmen to play football in the evenings, God forbid, time they should have been spending with their family after a long workday. Another more reasonable argument was that the high running costs, as we mentioned, 3.5 pence back then, would have been quite expensive per hour. So when the use of floodlights was growing in Europe at the beginning of the 20th century, England's FA insisted upon embracing tradition and rejecting modernity. They were only permitted for exhibition and charity games up until 1930, when the FA actually banned them.
What? I thought you were going to say they were allowing them. No.
No.
They had them for exhibitions and then they banned them.
They completely reneged again. So this is despite the fact that as early as the 20s, greyhound racing, rugby, they were all using floodlights to allow for evening action. And eventually the FA began to see the writing on the wall.
Or see the light.
Well, during daylight hours maybe. And by the 50s, clubs and stadiums were erecting pylons. Curiously, floodlights would be responsible for another major culture change in English football 20 years later. So you might remember the energy crisis and the miners' strike in the early 70s, which resulted in Ted Heath's government at the time having to implement drastic measures like energy rationing and regularly scheduled blackouts, particularly during the winter of 73-74. And there was also a ban on floodlights at this time, so meaning that in January 1974, the first ever football games in England were played on a Sunday. That was something that was totally beyond the pale at the time. It was seen as a rest day. You couldn't have it on. So that's where that comes on.
That's
years
where
later.
Sunday football started. Now, what about us here? When did we embrace the floodlit pitch?
2 years before Wembley got theirs.
Oh.
Which is very satisfying. So funny enough, at Talca Park, I know it's the subject of the story. So the first international game under lights at Wembley was England against Spain in 55. But Talca Park was the setting for the first floodlit game in Ireland on the 30th of March 1953, when Drumcondra took on Scottish side St Mirren in an exhibition friendly at the iconic ground. This was at a time when in certain parts of Dublin they were still lit by gas lamps, so this was totally new. And club owner Sam Prohl installed the new lights, 45 feet high, erected at each corner of the ground with banks of light in each one, the total light representing 60,000 watts, says the Irish Times on the 20th of March.
What about the crowds?
Disappointing. So people weren't quite as enamoured with it as they might have been in Sheffield 75 years ago. A cold evening probably kept many at home, says the match report. But the game pressed on. Interestingly, the white football that they were using had to be swapped out for a new one every 15-20 minutes because it got so caked in mud that the lights were just totally ineffective to showing where it is. The drums had found enlightenment, so to speak. They won the game 2-0. Reports indicate that the Scots were quite literally dazzled by the occasion. The floodlights blinded them at one stage after the ball was booted into the air, and the ball actually hops over the goalkeeper, who doesn't see it, for the first goal. So they proved a big success, and while some were sceptical that they would be a mainstay or a fleeting novelty, some, one even hurled report, reckoned that nighttime football might be the death of the game during the day, but of course that didn't happen.
Floodlight failures, though, such as we saw last Friday evening in Talca Park, they're a common enough occurrence.
Yeah, and it's not the first time it's happened at Talca either. So in 2014, an FAI Cup third round replay was forced to be abandoned between Shelburne and Pats after a floodlight outage. And in 2013, at the Super Bowl over in the US, that was interrupted for over half an hour after a partial outage at the New Orleans Superdome, where this year's Super Bowl took place. So it's not just limited to Ireland and not just limited to football.
Now, floodlighting malfunctioning was also used as part of one of the biggest football scams ever.
Yeah. So in 1998, two men, En Huang Lim and Chi Kuang, arrived at the Valley in London, the home ground of then Premiership side Charlton Athletic. They posed as managers of a Far Eastern stadium interested in discussing security, driven to the ground by another man, Wai Luen Liu. He was later linked to a notorious Hong Kong betting syndicate. So the syndicate's idea was simple: fix the game by tampering with the electrics of the ground using a remote control mechanism. The floodlights can be switched off, causing the match to be abandoned. And I won't go into the intricacies of it, but basically, if the match was abandoned after halftime, they'd receive a massive payout from the bets that they had placed.
So the idea was to wait for the moment when the result favoured them.
Mm.
And that would stand.
And then switch it. And they had paid this guy, Roger Firth, who was a security guard at the Valley. They paid him £20,000 to grant them access to a control room where they could set up this remote, which would allow them to cut the power to the floodlights at whatever moment they chose. There was just one problem. The police had been onto them. They'd set up a sting, a dragnet. So having linked the gang to two similar incidents the previous year, one for a West Ham versus Crystal Palace game and a similar incident between Wimbledon and Arsenal. So funny enough, don't limit your crime to London within the vicinity of that. That felt like a silly thing to do. And Firth had also attempted to get his colleague Dave Rushen to allow entry to the grounds, but Rushen was wise enough. He alerted police. They set up a sting operation. They arrested the four men, who were all tried and convicted for match fixing and conspiracy to cause a public nuisance, which I like. Limanong received 4 years in prison. Liu, who maintains his innocence to this day, received 30 months, and Firth was handed an 18-month sentence.
Extraordinary stories all about the floodlights, inspired by what happened at Talca Park last Friday. Cameron Hill from Off the Ball, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.